Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. And today is our Christmas celebration episode because I don't know if you've looked at the calendar, but next week's Killing Time falls on a very incredible,
sacred,
different holiday other than Christmas. So we are moving our Christmas celebration to today. So Merry Christmas, our listeners.
Merry Christmas, if that's your thing.
And happy holidays.
Happy holidays to everyone. When we see Merry Christmas, what we want to make clear is that we're encompassing just the spirit of this time of year.
Yeah, the holiday season.
Exactly.
Yes.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Yes, happy holidays.
Absolutely. So, you know what? Today, we're going to go to the dark day here.
Yeah, let's go to the dark day.
Very punk rock, actually. Okay. December 16th, 1773. A bunch of people, and they're actually prominent men from Massachusetts, they dress up as Mohawk Indians, they go on three British ships, and they throw overboard 342 chests of tea into the harbor. Mm. Now, this became known as the Boston Tea Party.
Of course.
Mm. Now, they were protesting the British Parliament. They had the Tea Act of 1773, which said that they were trying to save the East India Company by lowering the tea. They were trying to create basically a monopoly on the tea.
The East India Trade Company
was trying to create the monopoly.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. So, and they were trying to just undercut everybody. Mm-hmm. And there were three tea ships, the Dartmouth, the Eleanor, and the Beaver. And apparently I don't know if it's still there now, but as a kid, I remember going to Boston, going on the Beaver in Boston Harbor, and actually being able to throw a thing of tea, over into the water, and then they would pull it up again, everything like that, which is really
good. We're pulling this back up. This is just a theatrical release.
No, and I was like, no, we're doing this.
We're doing this.
Yeah. So, and this was led by Sam Adams, mm-hmm. who eventually
has a
delicious beer. So apparently the tea that they dumped in that harbor was valued at $18,000. Mm. Now, Parliament was pissed.
Can't get your shit
back
now.
Back then, they were pissed.
Yeah.
$18,000 then?
Yeah.
So what does that equate to now?
It equates to $7 billion now. I really don't know what it means.
I'll look it up while Billy keeps talking.
Oh, my God, Billy. Useless,
so,
man.
So Parliament was pissed, and then they enacted the Coercive Acts. But so, by the way, the acts that Parliament was doing, like, who was naming them? They had the Intolerable Acts. They had the Coercive Acts.
Intolerable Acts.
Yeah, this is...
I would have breached every law. Like, Intolerable Acts. Like,
yeah.
Sign me up.
So that's what this was. So they closed Boston to merchant ships. They basically closed the harbor. And they made all of the British officials, they said, you know what, you're immune. Nobody's going to prosecute you or anything like that. And this is also when they said that everybody, if we want to put British troops in your house, they're allowed to stay there. Mm. So this subsequently made the colonists create the first Continental Congress, and then this kind of was one of the sparks of the revolution. Mm-hmm.
So I did look up the inflation cost, and it said The value of more than 92,000 pounds of tea dumped into the Boston Harbor would be around $1 million, which doesn't seem that much, to be honest.
Honestly, yeah, chill out, guys.
Like, honestly, like, if you think about how many, like, ships are backed up in Long Beach right now in the U.S.
I mean, yeah. We're losing millions and millions of dollars by the day.
If we kicked a single canister off one of those ships, I think it'd be more than that.
Yeah, when Instagram goes down for 6 hours, they're losing $1 million. Yeah, so just chill
absolutely.
Out.
I think
maybe just because not much was going on back then, you know?
You know, the economy was not as stimulated as it is now.
No, yeah. Not at all. We're like, we lost $1 million. It's just another Tuesday,
another
at 5 o'clock.
Another day in paradise.
Another day, another dollar.
So that's what happened on this day in 1773.
All right. Well, we're going to get into some interesting true crime rewind in a bit. But before then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
All right, well, welcome to, I was going to say Christmas-themed On the Stand, but it's not. It's just another everyday On the Stand.
Could be On the Stand. Could be.
I don't know.
It may be. We don't know what Billy's going to say or what I'm going to say, frankly, but like, could be Christmas On the Stand for all we know.
Every week, each of us is bringing something to the stand. We're either prosecuting it or defending it. Maybe it's an unpopular opinion, something of the sort. And we're going to decide if we are angry at something we shouldn't be or if we are rightful in our thoughts.
That's right.
So for this first On the Stand for today, I think I'm going to go first.
I love that.
Unless one of you wants to go first.
No, I think you should.
I'll go first.
Okay, oh, really? Billy's going
first. No, I'm going first. All right, okay. Here's what I'm doing.
As he puts a hat on, as he says this, by the way.
And what kind of hat am I putting on?
You guys can't see us. He's putting a Santa hat on over his headphones, and he's draping the little dangly
ball. I'll take a picture. We'll post it on Instagram.
He's dangling the little dangly ball to one side.
Which I often do.
He dangles a dangly ball to one side.
Yes.
He often
that's his
does
like
that.
MO.
Don't judge. All right, so
dangling a dangly ball.
That's right. So dangles for everyone.
Secret Santa.
Oh, that's a good one.
Has morphed into Yankee Swap slash
what the fuck is white Yankee Swap. I've never heard that term.
White elephant.
No.
Slash.
What is Yankee Swap?
Yankee Swap, White Elephant, Bastard Christmas, whatever it is.
Bastard.
Yes.
Jeez, Alexis.
Dude, bastard is a scary word used to bastardize people.
Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about where everybody puts a gift under the tree and then somebody has to pick a gift.
No, we understand what it is.
Okay,
the names are offensive.
Let him talk about White Elephant.
But that's what people call them. So what I want to say is that I want to put that on the stand. Sometimes it is interesting. There's a lot of strategy that goes on.
Yeah.
I remember once fighting for a charger for an iPhone, like a portable charger for an iPhone.
Because it was one of the gifts?
Everybody was fighting for that at one point. It was in the shape of a ghost. And it probably gave you like 25 extra minutes or something like that. But I want to put that on the stand.
Just white elephant ghost.
What do you think about the white elephant
party?
Party.
I love it.
Me who?
I love it because
I'm so glad you had this perspective.
I mean, deep down, we all know I love a game. And then at the end of the game, white elephant gift party is a game. Like,
and you get something when you leave.
It's a strategy.
The losers even get something. And when you're done talking, I can't wait to wait.
No, I love it. I think it's fun. It's an activity. It brings people together. It makes you like let your creative juices flow when you're trying to get the perfect gift that people are going to want to fight for. That's still kind of a fucking joke.
No, it's my turn.
Go.
My turn. I went to my friend Olivia's white elephant party 3 years in a row. The first year, it was the best white elephant party I've ever been to. Every gift was amazing. Someone got a drone. That first year, I was like, holy shit. The second year, someone got a drone and I didn't get it. And I was like, next year I'm getting that fucking drone. The next year I got that fucking drone because I was strategic about it and I knew it was coming.
So the person that got the drone brought it the next year.
And no, you don't know where I'm going with this. And I can't wait till you see this punchline. I got this drone finally after 3 years of wanting this drone. And I never fucking used it. So I gave it to fucking Jared.
Yeah, no, as a gift.
I gave it to Jared as a gift.
And guess what? Used it.
No, he did. He like went viral on Barstool when he had a Dorito lowered into his mouth on the drone.
Well, that was because we were like in the throes of quarantine.
But I'm telling you, my point is that it's all ego. I didn't really need this drone.
No.
But like every year I was like, I honed my skills.
Yes.
Because I was like, someone always every year knows how to win this game.
Yes.
And I...
Oh, I love it. It's such strategy. It's the such...
best. And honestly, like, I want to give Jared drones and more. Like, I'm so glad I could do that for him. And he's...
He hasn't used it since then. So.
I think Jared needs a
light... I never would have used it. I never would have used it. So this actually makes me feel better. But yes. My point is that white elephants, not guilty.
Why don't they give some amazing... Or gift parties. The best one that I had brought to the White Elephant gift party that I ended up purchasing for myself after because they were so good is a pair of blobfish slippers.
Wow. Okay. Ooh, I want to know more. Uh-huh.
Slippers in the shape of blobfish.
I want to know
my
more.
My favorite ocean creature.
But I thought
creature.
They were dying and oxidizing.
Love
as they look like.
Well, yes. When blobfish look like the blob, it means they are dying.
Dead.
But we're going to pretend that we don't know that fact. But they're okay. So cute. They're my favorite ocean creature. And they make blobfish slippers that are so adorable. And I don't have mine anymore, so I might buy another. Pair,
let me tell you, my son is amazing at the white elephant. He will actually buy not a incredibly large box, but he will buy a box that looks pretty good,
yeah,
and then wrap it and then have another box inside it. Like, he'll do that. Like, he'll be like a total,
like the Russian nesting
dick
dolls,
about
but
it.
With
yes,
cardboard boxes.
He's come home literally with a white elephant teapot.
What's a teapot? White elephant
Like a teapot that's in the shape of a white elephant. He's come home with a giant penguin.
Wait, come home to give to you? Like, I'm confused.
No, come home to like
it's
come
been
home
given
with,
to him?
Like he's won it.
Okay.
Because white elephant is a...
Yeah, you win.
Yeah, so, all right, we'll put it up there. Not guilty. I love it.
Not guilty. They're amazing. Okay, I'm going to go next.
I love this. This is a fun one. I'm into this.
On the stand... Just the concept of wool. Wool sweaters, wool scarves, wool jackets. I'm putting it on the stand because I don't think it's fair. As somebody who's allergic to wool, wool is so itchy and scratchy and I hate it. There are so many beautiful things made out of wool that I cannot wear.
Ooh.
And I feel left out. And I think that, like, I understand the concept of wool. Back in the day, it was probably one of the warmest fibers that they had, and we were freezing. And it's like, how do you keep warm other than, like, wearing an animal carcass on you?
Right.
Itchy as fuck, though.
It's itchy. But probably back in the day, people weren't worried about being itchy because they're just trying to survive and not catch hypothermia.
And you know what? They didn't have to bathe as much as us, so I think they had, like...
Yeah, built in kind of like
they weren't
a layer
as sensitive.
Of
silk.
But
we're
we
so sensitive.
Also know we don't have to bathe though. We've established that, I believe, on this podcast.
No, we have to bathe. We just don't have to wash our legs.
Listen, just watch Explained, the skin episode on Explained on Netflix, and you'll understand. Listen, it's all fine if you just want to bathe. You have to use hella other products to complement that bathing. It's all a trap.
If not,
you're down for that, then you're fine.
We do not need wool. We need Gore-Tex, remember?
What the fuck did you say?
Gore-Tex.
That was the weirdest accent.
What did you
say?
Again?
All right. Do you remember when George had the puffy jacket, which was Gore-Tex?
What are you saying?
Gore-Tex.
That's not what you said. You said Gore-Tex.
Gore-Tex, which is the I'm sorry.
Holy shit, Jacqueline. I'm so glad
I
someone else
was
here.
Saying it in an accent, and it just went sideways.
Were you doing it to joke around? That was surreal.
I was doing it in the George accent. I'm sorry if you didn't.
No, it sounded like an accent I've
Gore-Tex.
Never heard before.
That's what he says. We'll play it. Everyone else Google.
No, we won't.
Yeah, okay.
Fine. Anyways... I think that the concept of wool is outdated and a little bit antiquated, and I don't think we truly need it. I think that there are...
I agree.
We live in warmer climates. We have heat. We have heaters. We have heat lamps. I don't think we need it for our warmth, but there are so many adorable coats and sweaters that I cannot wear because they're wool.
Mm. Yes.
And I know that there are other people out there with this.
And then there's these little sheep that are out there that are, like, freezing their asses off because...
Need to be shaved. A lot of them need to be shaved.
Why you say that?
Because they do. Because otherwise they get matted and sad.
Anyways, all right. Well,
I don't know. They're kind of shivering.
Wool, guilty.
Guilty, I guess.
Yeah, guilty. Wool sucks.
Alexis.
All right. I'm ready for this, and I'm excited for this, and I think it will resonate and also encapsulate most of what you've all come to know about me, which is I hate cooked fruit, so I'm putting on the stand. Fruitcake, holiday fruitcake.
Okay, here we go again.
I don't know how much fruitcake has come into the vernacular of the modern day person. Mm-hmm. But the old norm was that if you gave someone a fruitcake, they hated you.
Well, originally, if you gave somebody a fruitcake, it was a thing of joy. But then it turned
long ago. Yeah. Food was scarce. It was like, look at this precious cake with full of nutrients and dried cranberries. Like now people are offended if you get a fruitcake.
Yeah.
But I want to like erase the fruitcake from the holiday, like a time. Like no one wants it. No one likes it. No one wants to be given food, frankly, as a gift. As a gift. I will say, like, if you're going to potluck.
Yeah.
You're donating food to people who need it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like, hey, you're someone who's near and dear. I'm going to give you a dried fruitcake. No one wants that. And I think I'm down for it as a joke.
Okay.
It's like a white elephant gift.
That's right.
All right. So here's the thing about fruitcakes.
I'm ready for this.
I am on Wikipedia right now.
Okay.
There's literally a subset that says shelf life, and I'm quoting from it. When a fruitcake contains a good deal of alcohol, which often very many
rum
of
cakes
them do,
and things.
It can remain edible for many years. For example, a fruitcake baked in 1878 was kept as an heirloom by a family in Tecumseh, Michigan, wrapping the cake in alcohol-soaked linen, before storing is one method of lengthening the shelf life. A 106-year-old fruitcake discovered in 2017 by the Antarctic Heritage Trust described it as excellent condition and almost edible.
Ew. Hard pass. A fruitcake isn't edible.
How do they know it's almost edible? That means they tried it.
They probably tested it for like microbiome, like bacteria shit.
Yeah.
But I'll say a brand new fucking fruitcake is almost inedible as it is. Like,
I agree.
Have a chocolate cake?
Have a fucking pumpkin bread, have a banana bread, fruitcake, like a delicious cake ruined by peppered like gelatin.
No, and it's like it's almost like a fruit bread.
A true nightmare. And what fruits are in that? You don't even know. There's like fragments of fruits that you don't even know what it is.
It's like candied fruits. It's basically, you know, gummy bears without being natural. You know
gummy bear excites me a lot. A fruitcake, not so much.
All right, so gummy bear.
Don't tarnish gummy bears in that way.
Yes. All right. Please. So guilty?
Guilty.
Guilty.
Yeah, I'll say guilty,
Dude,
too.
I think this is my first unanimous
Let's
verdict.
Let's move on. All right, guilty.
Goodbye forever.
Goodbye. All right, well, when we come back, it is time for some true crime holiday rewind.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world, and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Welcome to True Crime Rewind. This is the Christmas edition. Now, when you think about Christmas and true crime, the first thing everyone's going to think about is JonBenet Ramsey, which is obviously a horrific case. It's probably I would say it's the biggest unsolved murder, or the most infamous, the most perplexing unsolved murder in American history.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we bring it up constantly. We're just,
I can't stop thinking about it ever.
But I think we all agree. It's just too new. Who knows? Sorry.
Yeah. I'm
shutting down. That's how important it is. That's how significant it is for our age group.
No, it's and we did talk last week about the nuance of just any case. And it's like, I think JonBenet, again, it's like, I don't think that anybody is well equipped to have any opinion on JonBenet, really.
You know what?
There's a couple of people.
The one thing I will say is that, like, I'm fucking super sad JonBenet, like, she's frozen as she is, and we don't know what she could have become. And that's the saddest fucking thing. It's what everyone should be focusing on.
I agree.
Yeah. But, like, she never got to live, which is so sad.
But we're going to talk about some other cases right now. And we're going to talk about people that were dressed as Santa.
Mm.
Now, Santa Claus is... Klaus.
Santa Claus
is an icon.
Now,
in 2004, there was a dude that was dressed as Santa at Atlanta Mall. And he was convinced that this woman, who was 74 years old, stole $100 worth of Hershey's chocolates from him. So he hit her over the head with a 2x4.
Jesus.
Yes.
Stole the chocolates from him personally, like his personal collection of Hershey's chocolate.
I don't know, but the woman died from her injuries.
That's horrible.
And he was sentenced to life in prison.
He must feel really strong about this.
Yeah.
His conviction and Hershey's chocolate is honestly not that great. I mean,
all right. Well, I will say
or Lindt.
Lindt truffles.
Yeah, that's right. Lindt or Godiva. I'm here for this.
All right, I'm putting this out there right now. Hershey's, I love you. You're an American institution.
No, I do love Hershey's too, especially in a s'more.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I just chimed in.
But it's just a very strong feeling.
Reaction for such a thing.
Yes. All right. So let's go to Christmas Eve of 2008. Now, in Covina, California, the Ortega family was sitting down to Christmas Eve dinner. The ex-husband comes in. He's got multiple guns. He's dressed as Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
He shoots everybody in the house and kills them.
What a fucking asshole.
Yeah. Then he takes a homemade flamethrower and burns the house down.
Oh my God.
All 9 members were murdered. And then he committed suicide died by suicide, but I almost don't even want to use that with this guy because he's such a piece of shit, at the brother's home hours later.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Yes. So in Dallas, 2011... a guy named Aziz Yazanpanah came dressed as Santa Claus to his estranged wife and his 2 children's home. And while they're opening the presents that he bought, he fatally shoots the family and then turns a gun on himself.
Wow.
Why people do this, especially at Christmas, is a lot of people think, like, why would they do this? The thing is that they know that people are going to be all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
They know everybody's going to be there. It's like when we were putting this together, I was thinking about there's so many crimes that happen at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Because it's a family gathering. Everybody's together. Everybody knows people are going to be together. And then that's what happens. With this, it's everybody knows that everybody's going to be there. That's why you have so many crimes that happen over the holidays. And this, these were crimes where I knew somebody was there, this person wasn't invited, and they go. Then you have crimes where everybody is there, and then somebody gets pissed at somebody else.
And it just happens.
And then it just happens. Yeah.
Well, totally. It's also interesting, like, the element of somebody, like, dressing up as Santa. Like, all these people have been dressed up as Santa. Like, is that an aspect of, like, them kind of, like, hiding behind a mask?
It's so disarming because, yeah, like, children run to this man. Like, it's this figment that everyone is – it evokes this sort of idea of, like, joy and merriment and comfort.
And you're almost hiding behind that.
It's very disarming. Yeah. Of course.
But the one case that I want to talk about is a case that actually took place incredibly close to where we are now.
Ooh.
Just like 3 miles away.
Wow.
December 6th, 1959. Now, there is a house, some might call it a mansion, that sits in Los Feliz. On this date, Dr. Harold Perelson took a hammer and he hit his wife over the head with it. He hit his 18-year-old daughter over the head with it. And then ended his own life with a bunch of tranquilizer pills. For 50 years, this house remained untouched. And this is known as the Los Feliz Murder Mansion. Mm. Have you guys ever gone up to it?
No.
I've never even heard of it.
Really?
Before. Me either. No. I didn't know.
All right. So here, one weird thing that happened is that the house actually had the Christmas tree. It had all of the... During the time of this murder, all of the presents were there. Mm-hmm. And for 50 years, it just stayed like that.
Weird.
So you could look into the house and people would go up there and look into the house.
The presents were like still inside.
Oh, the presents were still there.
What?
Yeah.
That is bizarre.
Yeah. Like I have heard of this.
Why?
And I think it might still be, right?
So I think someone just bought it. Yeah. Yeah. So
how does that even happen?
There was a ton of dust over it. Like, you would look into it in the 90s or even in the 2000s. You would see, like, this 50s-style TV set. You'd see the Christmas tree. You'd see the presents.
Wow. And nobody ever tried just to break into
like
it?
A ton of dust. A family had bought it, apparently, and used it kind of as storage, which is kind of strange.
Didn't do anything with it at first.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like it's rich people shit. It's like I'm buying this mansion. I'm unsure what to do with it.
Yeah,
and like for that reason, it wasn't like it didn't become like a squatter's place. Like it just remained kind of pristine as it was, minus the dust. Obviously,
from 50 years. Yeah, and it was like a time capsule. Wow. And people would go up to it and then look inside and be like, it was almost like looking at the Tower of Terror or whatever. It's just like, oh my god,
museum.
Yeah,
interesting.
So. That is the True Crime Rewind. There are a ton of other murders that happened over Christmas. Those are just four of them.
Wow.
Damn.
So, these people did a lot of bad things. Not as bad as you've done, but we know you've done some bad things, and we're going to hear about them next.
Again, bad as an abstract concept.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hey, everyone. We are so fucking excited. This is my favorite part of this podcast, obviously.
It's the best.
And it's because we get to engage with you guys. And honestly, it's a lesson in sort of humanitarian relations, because we start to understand what you all feel bad about, what you don't feel bad about. And we get to comfort you in what you shouldn't feel bad about, which is, I don't know, we normally like we do morality testing. We like do shit when we're younger or throughout our lives to see how we feel about things. So it's the best thing ever when we hear that you're like, hey, I did a bad thing and I know it's bad.
Yeah.
So I need you guys to remember, if you called me and you said it's bad, you already are forgiven because you're already in the process of repenting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not a murder or an assault.
I mean, we had an assault in this podcast and it also was meaningful. Listen, it's meaningful to talk about those too. I mean, Fuck all violence and sadness, but that is our truth. So here we are with our first one today. Hang tight and let's go.
Hey guys, I love your show. So this is the story of the worst thing I've ever done, and the first time I got high. So one day my dad asked me to grab him a cigar out of his humidor, and I went to go grab it, and something in me just like told me to lift up the top tray. So I did, and I saw some weed, and I was like, noted. So I gave him the cigar, and life went on for a while, and everything was fine. And then one day dad is out of the house, and I was like, maybe I should go grab some of that weed. And I did, and I hid it under my sink because I had my own bathroom. And dad went to bed one night, and I said, okay, tonight is the night. So I Googled how to smoke weed, and I deducted that rolling a joint would probably be like the easiest way to do that. And then I had to look up like what the best at-home rolling paper is, because obviously I didn't have any. And so I took the front page out of my Bible, like the one that doesn't have any writing on it, and I used that as a joint wrapper. I was like 17 at the time, and I told my dad this story like this past year. It's like 7 years later. And he just looks at me and he's real silent for a second and he goes, dude, that's awesome. So that's the story of the worst thing I've ever done. But honestly, I don't feel that bad about it, because like dad's not mad. And if anybody should be, it's him, because I stole his weed. And I mean, I guess God, because I did use the Bible as a rolling paper. But that's it. Thanks, guys.
I love you for this story. And I'm going to start with this. I'm going to reassure you that your decision to use this front page of this Bible is really not like an anti-religious thing. Because you know what? The original Bible was not produced through probably a publishing company that profited off of each page. And like, honestly, this front page has nothing to fucking do with religion.
Also, the Bible wasn't made when they had weed. Like, they didn't know what would happen if they were in a time.
God made weed.
Listen, all I have to say is that thank God you didn't use like a paper towel, because that would have been bad.
No, yeah.
Like you did the right decision by using the piece of the Bible.
Right. And also, again, this Bible is not like an original, like it's not like a scribe made it.
You didn't use like the Declaration of Independence.
Exactly. You use like a commercial reproduction of a Bible, and this page was just probably like a commercially like required thing. Don't beat yourself up. You're amazing. And your dad didn't care, which further bolsters our side on this.
Well, how great would it have been if...
God, I love her. I love her.
If National Treasure was like, we're going to smoke weed with the Declaration of Independence. Yeah. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Well, if there was a blank page in the front, they should have.
Yeah.
Because you know what? If there's a blank page in a Bible, what do they want you to do with it?
You know,
what is the purpose of it?
The point of that blank page is to be used at your discretion when you think you need it for something.
Dude, yes. It's a spiritual connection to yourself, which is what you were doing.
That's right. Like, perfect. Maybe you need to mop up a mess. Maybe you need to smoke a blunt. Maybe you need to wipe your ass when you ran out of toilet
maybe
paper. So many different reasons.
Maybe you need a journal on it. And talk through your feelings. Like, there's a million other things other than like desecrating this page that can be used for.
Yeah.
That being said, your dad didn't seem to care. And your Bible is your family and your life and your ideology.
It's also your property, and you can do whatever the fuck you want to do with it.
But like, your dad didn't care, which means that like the thing you were paranoid about, like, I couldn't have my dad know that he smoked weed. He was happy you experimented. Like, I love this, because I think it encompasses like everything. It neutralizes everything we're afraid of. Like, our parents are generally pretty human. Mm-hmm. Your dad is.
Generally.
generally. That being said, I fucking love this story, because I think it ties a ton of things together. And you should never feel bad about this kind of thing, because you did a healthy thing experimenting with a product grown from the earth that's legal in several states, and your dad was fine with it. Mm-hmm. Like, what else? What other God? What other religion do you have to abide by other than the state law and our parents?
It's all good.
Amen.
Feeling good about this.
Hey guys, first of all, I just wanted to say I love you guys, and you guys are doing so great with the podcast. It's amazing. You guys are amazing. Congratulations, Jack, for your engagement. Alexis and Billy, I'm so proud of you guys for everything you did for Unraveled and all the seasons here and to come. So I'm a firsty worstie, and this has nothing to do with a Hello Kitty eraser or throwing a cone at my mom's car, which I feel bad that this is this is what first. Okay. So I'm 10 tequila shots in, so give me the strength to tell you guys this story. So my son's father had two best friends of 20 years. They were inseparable. So me and him were only together for about 3 years. I had to leave because of like emotional and mental abuse, nothing physical or anything like that. But during our breakup, towards the end, we still lived together. And my son's father eventually ended up sleeping with an acquaintance of mine. And about a month or two later, I found out she got knocked up. So that's when I started plotting my revenge. So I started drinking and smoking and hanging out with his two best friends regularly. And one night I decided I was going to hook up with the one that had obviously the least morals and values. So the next day I quote unquote leaked the info to a mutual friend knowing that it would get back to him. And so about 24 hours later, I get these violent rage texts from my son's father, you know, threatening me of like custody and all these other things. Like it had nothing to do with my parenting. It was just a simple fact that I slept with his friend and he was mad and jealous and all that stuff, which means my plan worked, you know? And so eventually things blew over between us and everything is fine now. But unfortunately, the friend who I didn't sleep with had passed away. And even at his funeral, the friend that I hooked up with, you know, one single time, my son's father would not look at him, would not talk to him, anything. So I feel like the worst part of this story is that it was a horrible lay and it wasn't even worth it whatsoever. So to this very day, I genuinely feel so bad and I wish I'd never done that because I really ruined like a lifelong friendship of the three of them over some dumb jealousy over a dumb guy who I didn't even want anymore. And so to this day, I genuinely feel really bad and I wish I had never done it. So that's the worst thing I've ever done. And yeah, I'd rather stay anonymous. I can't even remember if I said my name. I hope not. But love you guys. And shout out to the firsty worsties.
Okay, so first of all, what I have to say is like, I love that you called because you already know. You're like, I feel terrible. That was so petty.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of us have done things like that where it's like, why did I react so poorly? Why did I, you know...
Well, especially in retrospect, it's like you're looking back at this when you've kind of had a chance to chill. You've had years to think about it. You're like, that was so fucking dumb. But honestly, in the moment, you had to do it.
She had to, and it was justified. But that being said, like, I love you because of how you feel now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that matters. It's like we're so young when we do this crazy shit. And even if we're not like years young, what I have to clarify, like, we're not always like young in the years. Sometimes you're emotionally young. Sometimes you've been in one relationship till you're fucking 40.
Yeah.
And then you have your second one at 42. And then you're young in that way.
Yeah, like, you make the mistakes of a young relationship.
Right.
For sure.
So like when I say young, like we all have to be forgiving of ourselves of like the decisions we're making because it's like we're fucking all trying. Most of us aren't trying to be sociopaths. And you in this instance, you were devastated by this idea that you had a child with this guy you loved. He got someone else pregnant. This seemed like a very fair thing for you to do in your head at the time. And then you did it. Mm-hmm. And now later you're like, fuck, that was petty. And now I see the sort of wake I've left and what a nightmare mm-hmm. that is. But what the most important thing is that like you feel bad about it. And you see how petty it was, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, you feel bad about it, and then the dudes, you know what? Dudes can get over a lot of shit, you know what I mean? So,
But guys get over shit easier than girls. But didn't she say that it ruined their friendship with each other?
That's why she feels bad about it, but dudes can get over that stuff. Just a matter of, like, these guys just didn't, but, you know.
But the thing, too, with that, it's like... It takes two to tango, right? And his friend was also a really fucking shitty friend for hooking up with her, too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you shouldn't bear all of that guilt on you thinking it was like a personal decision just that you had. You know what I mean? So, but also, as an outsider, kind of like watching your story unfold, yes, it wasn't the best decision that you've ever made. However, I kind of hear you talking and I'm like, I bet this is going to happen next. And I bet this is going to happen next. Like, it's kind of a typical mm-hmm. chain of events for something like that to happen. So I don't think that you acted out in a way that was so bizarre and so crazy and so guilt like ridden that you should feel that bad about it. I think probably many people that were put in a situation like yours would probably have acted similarly.
Dude, imagine you have a baby with someone you love and they knock up a friend of yours.
Yeah.
And imagine how crazy your response would be.
I mean, honestly, an eye for an eye in that situation.
And I'm just saying,
kind of is what happened.
When I say crazy, I don't mean that in the traditional sense. I mean, like, I would have done a less mature version of myself would have done something I just, when you think about the magnitude of having a child with someone.
Yeah.
And then someone you love, you have one with. And then...
Girl. I just remembered that I did this.
What?
Yeah.
Tell us.
Well, no. I mean, when I broke up, my ex-boyfriend and I broke up, I hooked up with one of his really good friends.
That's right, girl.
Because that is literally what you... When you are fucking hurt, and I didn't even have a kid with him. When you are super heartbroken and super hurt, it honestly is the lowest blow that you can do. And it feels fucking good at the time.
When someone fucks you over that bad,
you want to fuck them over even worse. And to be honest, they fucking deserve it.
And honestly, it's not even worse. It's just like, it's just a little dagger you can throw because it's not worse because they're the ones who fucked up. And in your case, my friend, my worstie, he's the one who knocked up your friend. So you fucking his friend and not having a baby with him is not even... It's not as bad.
I honestly don't even think it's that bad.
It's not bad, but like your baby daddy is petty and that he's not going to forgive his friend.
Well, that's the biggest thing there is that he should.
And you know what? That has nothing to do with you because obviously you guys are fine. But you know what? You should feel justified. You're amazing. The shit you're talking about is so heavy. Like the idea, children and pain and all this shit. It's something I can't necessarily comment on. But I can imagine acting very irrationally should it be my situation.
Absolutely.
Because the stakes are very high. And when the stakes are high, it's life, you know? Mm-hmm. So, girl, we fucking love you. And you know what? Your baby daddy's inability to forgive his friend is not your problem.
Yeah.
Because you forgave your baby daddy for doing something shitty.
Exactly.
You should all be able to forgive people.
Yep.
You know what it actually means? He's still fucking in love with you.
Okay.
I mean, probably.
Let's not do that. I don't think so.
I don't think you should want him back, but there's a reason he's still mad at him.
All right. Well, I think it's time for the Costanza stanza.
Okay. I am ready for this, but just give me some grace.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's like an in-between Christmas time, but here we are. This poem is called George's Christmas List. George doesn't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing he needs. He wants a full head of hair underneath the Christmas tree. He wants his parents to move away to Florida.
She stopped singing.
I mean, how long was that going to go? He wants his parents to go away to Florida and to stay away. He wants women to flock to him. And he wants no one mocking him. He wants Jerry's full attention. Wants to be not bloated, no water retention. There's hella salty foods in the holidays, guys. Wants Santa to steal him away. Wants Santa to abduct him on his sleigh. The two of them will live happily ever after, Santa and George. For Christmas, his only wish is no more laughter.
Oh.
George hates fun.
George hates fun.
This he tracks, does. Right?
Yes.
Happy holidays, bitches.
Yes.
Happy holidays, friends.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.